Well, we're going to focus now on the European Union. With that, we go to our broadcast partner, Dr. Rob Congdon. And Rob covers the European continent, the European Union, for us because they will be key players in an end-time scenario that's found in God's Word. Rob, we've been talking about the threat of some type of a chemical weapon. Sarin gas is supposed to be what Bashar Assad may be putting together now, and it's a threat to the Middle East. What are the European Union peoples, the leaders there, saying about the situation in Syria?
Well, actually, the Syrian issue hasn't been so great. They're aware of it. They are concerned. Remember, in Europe's history, any chemical warfare is a very sensitive subject. In fact, it's almost one that I'd rather not talk about because of the incidents from World War One, which they still remember it, whether they lived at the age or not. And so they would be very disturbed over the issue and are disturbed over it and watching it closely. I think there's mixed feelings about the whole Syrian situation. And so they're more trying to be more observers than involved at this point. The fact that the Egyptian Arab Spring movement has not really produced what they hoped makes them not sure what's going to happen with Syria. They are concerned always with human rights abuses, and that is a major concern to Europeans. And so they're trying to sort through facts and reports and react. And I think I haven't really seen the reaction yet. I think they're still in this thoughtful process.
You know, I've noticed that same type of reaction throughout the entire Middle East. I don't see Israel really hyper about the situation. They're speaking to the issue. And I'm sure the Israeli Defense Force is preparing for whatever. But I noticed the same type of lack of comment about what is happening. Maybe some things going on that we don't know about. Hamas has appealed to the European Union diplomats for the opportunity to speak with them about having them removed from the terrorist list there in the European Union. Meanwhile, the European Union is denying that they have removed Hamas, this terrorist organization, from their list. Now, this is the 25th anniversary of Hamas. Lots of celebrations have been going on in the Gaza Strip. What's the European Union thinking about how they're going to deal with this, what everybody else calls a terrorist organization?
That's right, and the EU officially is refusing to remove Hamas. They still consider them a terrorist group. In fact, it meets the qualifications of Hamas as being a terrorist group because of its past actions. And so officially the EU is saying they won't. Now, at the same time, there is a delegation of parliament members from Poland, Portugal, and the UK that have visited Gaza, and they are looking over the situation there. And of course, the appeal is to them to say, go back and affect the EU. While that brings a lot of publicity, a lot of discussion, I always comment the bottom line is it's the EU Commission that will make decisions more than the Parliament. So we see action of it. I think it represents these members from Parliament that are visiting Gaza, when they speak, they are the ones that are sort of stirring up this idea that maybe Hamas should be removed from the terrorist list because their hearts are being appealed to as they see rubble and destruction and results of the fighting. But individual countries may start thinking about it. Apparently they have been, but the EU is held firm on the terror list status for Hamas, and I think they will continue. I think on the level of the total Europe, it is still seeing Hamas as a terrorist group.
This is not a Middle East news update that I'm doing with you, Rob, but it seems like we need to keep focusing back on Israel. European Union is saying that the souring relationships that they have with what's happening in the Jewish settlements there, and they're about to boycott some of the foodstuffs that come out of that part of the world there in Israel. But others of the European Union leadership say, no, wait a minute, hold up, we're not going to do that. What's happening?
Yeah, again, we have the individual countries and people within those countries who do want to boycott the goods. and yet the EU as a whole, they don't want to. They need those goods. It is part of their economy. They can't necessarily cut back. So I think there's a financial pressure. There is a need pressure that will probably keep the EU from taking any formal position. Bottom line is the European Union has long had a policy that they don't believe boycotts should be used. They're opposed to them as a tool to, you know, force negotiation. Now, they aren't opposed to banning certain items being shipped to areas such as the Iranian situation. So they're kind of, in a sense, two-faced here. They don't like boycotts, but they do believe in bans, and they aren't ready to start creating some kind of ban against Israel as a nation. So I don't think we're going to see a real threat to boycott goods. There is and has been the tendency to argue that any goods coming from Israel should be labeled more than just coming from Israel. They should be labeled whether they're coming from the settlement areas so that individuals could sort of boycott, if you will. But even that hasn't gained any real ground.
And again, I've got to keep the focus on something else relating to the Middle East. This last week, Prime Minister Netanyahu and his wife, in fact, went into Germany. They had a meeting with the Chancellor, Angela Merkel, and they, at the end of that meeting, agreed to disagree. Of course, the Prime Minister of Israel is saying, we need these settlements. They're a detriment to attack. In other words, they're helping the peace actually stay in place there in that part of the world. Angela Merkel disagreed. In fact, the Prime Minister mentioned to Ms. Merkel that he was very much upset the way the Germans at the United Nations actually changed their vote from a no against the Palestinian state to a abstention vote. Anything developing there that's of interest?
Well, I think you've summed it up very well. Israel always watches Germany, and the relations between Germany and Israel have been good in many ways, and I think they still are. I do think we have a situation here where Germany came under the pressure of fellow nations. Remember, Germany is trying to lead the European Union today. They are trying to deal with the financial crisis, which I point out is always the top issue in Europe today. So they probably voted or abstained as a hope to kind of keep the unity within the EU, and it really wasn't so much a vote against Israel as trying to maintain solidarity of Europe. So I think that's why these talks probably in reality went well, and the simple statement they agreed to disagree was a comfortable statement. Netanyahu did get across again and reiterated the position that Israel is worried about being taken to the Court of Human Rights, which involves the EU, by the Hamas or the Palestinians. So Germany understands it, and we always have, you know, what has to be on the surface and then what's really going on behind the scenes. So I don't see any serious problem between Germany and Israel at this point. Unfortunately, it, you know, could lead to other difficulties court-wise, but Germany is still behind Israel and will be.
Rob, thank you so very much for joining us again today, and we'll talk next week.
Oh, look forward to it. Lord bless.